This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
This morning, my mind is going to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 8. Everywhere around us, we're struggling. Our business men and women, many of you are watching right now, and you're struggling. The governor came out this past week and is going to be shutting businesses down. Schools are closed till May. There seems to be a storm brewing across this nation, and the thunder is clapping. The lightning is flashing. This morning, I want to answer a question out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 8, on can Jesus calm the storm? I want to read to you this morning a few verses in Matthew chapter 8, verse number 23. The Bible says, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" A passage of Scripture that has brought strength and power and energy and peace to the people of God for 2,000 years. The Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 has come off of the Mount of Beatitudes, and he's gotten into a ship, and he's going to go from the Jewish side of the Sea of Galilee all the way to the Gentile side. And there, as he gets off on the Gentile side in just a few hours, at Gadara, he's going to get off and he's going to cure a man that's been possessed by a legion of demons. But before that he gets off, Jesus gets there in the ship, and as he gets into the center of the Sea of Galilee, a storm is going to arise. Now, I don't have time to get into the theological aspects of this storm, but take it from me that this storm, it is a storm that comes from a demonic influence. I don't know how it happens. I don't know exactly the aspects or the gears that turn the wheels, but this is a demonically driven storm. And this is what it says in verse number 24. There arose a great tempest. That word tempest, it's the Greek word which means a shaking. We get our word seismic, like earthquake from it. And all of a sudden there's a shaking that comes from demon influences, and it begins to shake the storm, or shake the ship in that storm. The Lord Jesus looks at the disciples as they wake him up, and they say, "Lord, these demons are about to overwhelm us. They're going to destroy us. They're going to take us out." And the Lord Jesus looks at them and he says, "O ye of little faith." He says to them, he says, "Do you really think that this storm is more powerful than I am?" Brothers and sisters, you and I are right now in the midst of a storm. It is a storm of proportions like no generation that is alive right now has ever seen. The last thing that we could probably compare this to economically is the Great Depression of the 1920s and 30s. The thing that we could compare this to health-wise would probably be the Spanish flu of the 1918s. But you and I have never seen anything like what we are seeing right now. But I am ever more convinced, and I know that there are people that will disagree. I do not care. I'm telling you what is inside of my spirit. I'm becoming ever more convinced that what is going on right now in our nation, in the health department, in all of the culture, it is demonically driven. We find in the Bible that demons do have power and deal in sickness. And our doctors right now are being overwhelmed by a sickness that has invaded our land. And they're working and they're laboring. And let me stop and say this. I know right now in our hospital, at Cone Hospital, at Wesley Long and Women's Hospital, all the different hospitals around, that there are men and women in those wards right now that are working as hard as they can. I want to say thank you. We are praying for you. And you will not be overrun in the power of Jesus' name. But there are people right now in our culture, the fear. I'm becoming ever more convinced that this is a demonically driven storm. I know it's a physical virus. I know that it is a real thing. I don't debate that. But I'm telling you, the fear and the panic. Our businesses are shutting down. Our governor is having to do things to try to stop the spread of this. And the demons and the devils of hell seem to be laughing and snickering at us. And we've got businessmen and women right now, and they have no idea where their next check is coming from. And you are asking God, where did this storm come from? I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from the very pit of hell. It came from the very forces of evil. It arose out of the belly of the damned. It came out of the charred walls of hell. And I'm telling you, you and I are being overrun right now by demon influences. And the storm that's raging around us is raging in our homes. It's raging in our businesses. It's raging in our billfolds. It's raging in our churches. Pastors today will not be able to meet with their congregation. And they don't know, are their churches going to shut down? They don't know, is this storm ever going to pass? One of the ladies here in the church, she was scheduled to get married in just a few weeks. They've canceled the honeymoon. They've had to cancel the weddings because they can't get everybody in the building. And they are heartbroken. And storms are raging of epic proportions around us. And I'm asking you the question, because you are asking the question, can God calm the storm? Now, here is the answer to that question in short term. Yes, Jesus can calm the storm. And it's about high time the people of God get a backbone about themselves and stop tiptoeing around who we think we're going to offend and do what our grandfathers and great-grandfathers did when they came into this land and when sickness has overwhelmed this nation for hundreds of years, and we plead the blood of the Lamb of God and beg God to give our doctors wisdom, beg God to give our nurses wisdom so that we can fight this thing in the name of Jesus and in the wisdom and soundness of what God has raised up doctors to do. So I'm telling you in short form, yes, He can calm the storm. Now before you go, and those of you that have never been born again, you do not believe in God. You say, how can you, being a preacher, knowing nothing about medicine, say that Jesus can do something about this? Because I do not know anything about medicine, but I know the one that created medicine. I don't know anything about health care, but I know the one that created my body. I do not know anything about wisdom or wealth, but I know the one that created wisdom and the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hillsides and all the rubies and diamonds therein. And His name is Jesus Christ, and He has the power to do whatsoever. So how do I know then that Jesus can heal and calm this storm? I've got three little things I'll give you. Number one, I want to ask you this. How do I know He can cure this impossible storm? Number one, has He not cured impossible storms before? Was our nation not in a civil war in the 1850s and 60s? And yet our nation was ripped asunder, and our nation was torn from stem to stem. But yet was it not Jesus, and was it not God Almighty that sent mighty revival and through the workings of Abraham Lincoln brought our nation back together again? Ladies and gentlemen, just as God used a man back then, He can use men today. And God brought our nation back together, and He ushered in the Industrial Revolution, and God gave this nation a great rebirth. And was it not God that healed us in the Spanish flu? Was it not God that brought about economic booms after the Great Depression. And here's what I'm telling you. If God's done it before, God can do it again. Was it not our God that healed our nation after World War II? Was it not our God that healed our nation after the wounds of the Korean and Vietnam Wars? Was it not our God that healed this land from all of the effects of 9/11? Has He not done the impossible before? Maybe the fact that you and I have turned our back on God and we've kicked Him out of everything, God has finally said, I'm ready. I want to come back. And into your home He wants to come back. There have been impossible situations before in this church. People that have had cancers and God has used doctors to heal them, and sometimes God heals them. I'm sick and tired of tiptoeing around this thing, and I've come to tell you this morning that our God is still a wonder-working God. Our God's still an impossible God that can do the impossible act. I'm telling you, He has done the impossible before, and He is not afraid of COVID. He's not afraid of corona. He's not afraid of cancer. He's not afraid of influenza. He's not afraid of heart disease. Our God can do the impossible. He has done the impossible, and He will do the impossible again in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. God said through Christ, He said, are not all things possible if you ask the Father in My name? So can God do the impossible? Yes, because He's done it before. The second question that I want to ask and answer is, how do we know that Jesus can calm this storm? Well, number two, I'd ask you this. Does He care for you? We've got people, and I know it's tough. Churches are in tough places. Pastors are not able to have congregations. People are not able to give like they used to give. And some churches are having to scale back. Some churches are having to make budget cuts. I understand all of that. Businessmen are having to make business cuts. We've got ladies in our church and barbers in our church that are not able to work for 30 and 45 days. And we've got this idea that God has abandoned us all, and the devil's convinced us that the whole thing's going to fall in. And the devil's got our minds so convinced that it's all going to go by the wayside. Can I ask you a question? Has Jesus stopped caring for His people? Has something arisen that the Bible didn't see? Has the sparrow stopped flying in the sky? Has the flower of the field stopped blooming? Ladies and gentlemen, I was walking into the sanctuary this morning, and outside we've got a patch of tulips right outside the main door over here. And I stopped, and God began to show me as those tulips had opened up. And as I looked inside of those tulips, I realized that the stem and the pistils are still inside. And I reminded that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of those flowers. Yet our God, He cares more about you than He does about any bird of the field. And He cares more about you than He does any flower of the field. So I remind you this morning that you are not going to go down. It may not be the same, and we may not be able to live as gloriously as we have in the past for a little while, but our God is still on the throne, and inside of the heart of God Almighty, you are there. You say, preacher, how do you know that I am still loved by God? Because in heaven right now, as our God rolls up His sleeves, and the wrists and hands and the backs of the Lord Jesus are My stripes and your wounds, and written and engraved in the palms of His hands, you are there. And in the side of His breastbone, you are there. You and I are in the heart of God because we are in the scars of Jesus, and because we were pierced with Christ, we are still loved by God. He still loves you like He always has. He still cares for you like He always has. He still wants you to know that He loves you. There you are at the house right now, and you're a senior citizen, and nobody's been by to visit you. Nobody's been by to love on you. Honey, let me remind you right now, there's a three-part God right now. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And the big three are in that living room with you right now. And they're watching with on that phone with you right now. And they're watching on the internet with you right now. And they still love you. And they still care. When a son abandons, and when a spouse abandons, and when the government abandons, Jesus still cares, and Jesus still loves. How do you know Jesus will calm this storm? Because He still cares for for the people of God. But there's a third thing I want to give you. How do I know that Jesus still can calm the storm? Number three, because I want to ask you a question. Has he lost control? Has he lost control? Preacher, we've never had it like this. How do we know God? How do we know Jesus can cure the storm? How do we know Jesus can take care of the coronavirus? Friends, has he lost control? Has there arisen something that God didn't see coming? In another passage of Scripture in the book of Mark and in Luke chapter number 8, we find that where Jesus was, he's down in the belly of the ship. And the Scripture says he's asleep on a pillow. Now, where that pillow is in a ship, it's at the back of the ship, and they would lay the pillow on top of a box that was in the rear of the ship. That box covered what was known as the steering mechanisms. We called it the gear box. That's where they would lay pillows. So while Jesus was asleep, he was literally sleeping on the control mechanism of the ship. And while the storm raged on the outside, Jesus was sleeping on the control box of the ship. You hear me? This storm was not unforeseen by God Almighty. The president may not have seen it coming, the governor may not have seen it coming, but God Almighty sits in heaven right now, and everything is running right on time. You say, preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I have no idea what you're going to do either, but God knows what you're going to do. I don't have any idea what it's going to turn out like, but God knows what you're going to do. He's still in control. He's in control when mankind turns their back and he sends the floods of rain. Jesus is still in control. God is in control when Goliath comes out in the valley of Elah and David has to fight him. He's still in control. When hundreds and hundreds of prophets of Baal meet with one prophet on top of Mount Carmel and they cut themselves and try to call down fire from heaven, God is still in control. When King David reigns on the throne, God's in control. And when Jezebel on the throne, God's in control. Man does not have power over the heart of God. Man does not have power over the arm of God. God is still in control. I don't know how long it's going to last. I don't know when it's going to be over, but I do know this. At the beginning of this, God's in control, and at the end of it, God is still in control. Now, our time's almost gone this morning, so I want you to come right here with me and let me tell you a little story. I told this to the church last week online. I want to tell it to you again. There was a little boy who wanted to go to a birthday party of his friend so bad, and he begged his daddy and begged his daddy to let him go. But his daddy said, "Son, there's a blizzard outside. I can't let you go." And the boy begged him and begged him, and finally the father relented and said, "All right, you can go, son." Well, boy went. He'd wrapped up in his toboggan, wrapped up in his jacket, put his scarf on, put his snow boots on, and as he went, the snow was driving, just blowing as hard as it would. He finally, what felt like all night, he finally got to the birthday party, the porch. And as he walked into the porch, he got up on the stoop and he looked back. And off in the distance, he saw the shadowy figure. And when he reached the porch, that shadowy figure turned around and went back in toward the way of his home. The shadowy figure the boy found out was his daddy. You see, his daddy followed him in the distance to make sure he made it safe in the storm. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. This storm's going to pass. This storm's going to pass. And when we finally reach the destination that God Almighty has us reach, we're going to look back and we're going to tell our children, we're going to say, "Youngins, we didn't know how we were going to make it, but God followed us the whole way home. And one day, we're going to get home and we're going to realize God was with us all the way." Brothers and sisters, we want to be a blessing to you, and we know things are different. I wish I could invite you to the service today, but I can't. Now, I can ask you to watch online. I'm going to put the website up there right now. Also want you to go to YouTube and subscribe to the YouTube channel. All these messages are on there, but if you want a copy of this message, here's what I'm going to do. All you've got to do is call right now. The number's on the screen. Or you can go online and order it online. Absolutely free. Now's not the time for you to send money. We're a ministry of faith, and it takes faith to operate this TV program, but God will provide. But I want to send this to you as our gift to you. If God lays it on your heart, you follow God, but I want to send this to you free. You can get online. You can call us. All we need is your address. One of the ladies will be there. If the phone's busy, keep calling back. Leave a message. But I want to remind you all, in this storm, we want to be a blessing to you. I want to get this message to you. But child of God, sinner, why don't you call on the name of Jesus and ask Him to save you? Because in Christ, and in Christ alone, you will find unspeakable joy.